Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on Twitter or X, wherever you want to call it, at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for coming back and tuning in today's show. For today, I will be talking about the lack of the Pro Bowl, talking about Super Bowl matchup again, and today I am playing GM for the AFC South teams. You could check the last couple of weeks. I've been playing GM of AFC North, AFC East, and today's episode is AFC South. So without further ado, let's get fantasy. So you heard me mention about the Pro Bowl, the lack of it. It's just been downhill for years and years. They try to spice it up with new games and whatever, tug of war and all that, kind of bring back the 90s in a way, but still fail. And it's not, it's to me, it's just boring. I just don't like even watching it. I didn't even watch it. Did anyone even watch it yesterday? Be honest, like raise your hand, like it if you watched it. Even if you didn't like it too, give us a like. But when you ask an old veteran player from the 90s, early 2000s, you hear how important it was for them to reach the Pro Bowl. And now fast forward to yesterday's Pro Bowl, it just lacks that juice. You know, I mean, hell, you look at Reggie Wayne, I think tweeted it out saying, people miss the Pro Bowl from one, like it's in Hawaii, you know, the meeting everyone and everything like that. And also the hangovers and playing through the hangovers of the Maui or Mai Tais. But I just didn't even remember that there was a game. I don't even care there was a game, to be honest. But even like, it just doesn't have that feeling how it once did or mattered, or people don't care. JJ Watt even mentioned on and tweeted, when you get five alternates deep, just call it participation bowl. And he's not wrong. Like all it is just going out there, having fun, hanging out with your guys. You know, I miss the thoughts of Sean Taylor leveling. I think it was a punter during an Pro Bowl game before he passed. He just showed up and just blew him up. I mean, you could probably search pretty much any social media and you could find that video if you need to. But now it's just flag football. I know players don't want to get hurt. I don't blame them. I understand. But when you have Russell Wilson making the Pro Bowl or Tyler Huntley a couple years ago, like this is just asinine. Like I can't be happy for it. And just something needs a change to make it better. I know they keep on changing locations. I think it's what now in Orlando. I don't even know, but I just don't like the whole concept of the Pro Bowl. What do you guys think on chat? You know, what do you like it? Do you not? What do you miss about the old days? Like what's your favorite play from the Pro Bowls in the 90s, the 2000s? I'd say mine was AFC always won. I think they had what, like 10 years straight that they won the bowl game. And now you just get all these asinine numbers. Like the final score of yesterday's game, AFC 63, NFC 76. Like there's no defense. You have one guy rushing and he's rushing what? Counting apples, maybe like one apple, two apple, three apple, rush the quarterback. This is dumb. It's just ridiculous scoring. Something needs to change moving forward. But anyways, here's the stats of that. Jared Goff was your offense MVP. He threw for 126 yards and three touchdowns. During that time he was out there, Joe Burrow and his rival Division rival Russell Wilson, like, again, he should never have made the Pro Bowl. He sucked. Combined for one touchdown. Byron Murphy for the Minnesota Vikings was the defensive MVP. He had a pick six. I guess there's three of them in this game. It's just terrible in my opinion, but the LSU receivers did not disappoint from what I could find. Jamar Chase finishing with five catches, 101 yards, three touchdowns. Brian Thomas Jr., the rookie sensation, caps off his rookie year with six catches, 78 yards, and two touchdowns. Justin Jefferson also had six catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. And lastly, Malik Nabers, another rookie, finished with a few good catches I seen. I couldn't really even get what his stat line actually was, and a touchdown. To me, this is just boring. It's just more comedy to watch. Like, I just don't understand it. To me, I would not even want to watch it unless I'm there. I get to see all the greats. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I guess they're trying to make it more family oriented, kind of having Eli and Peyton versus each other and having, you know, Peyton's son Marshall throwing passes to these guys. But like doing tug of war and everything else during that time, I can't get behind it. And I just think they need to change something to play for. I know some players, when they make the Pro Bowl, they get an added bonus, but to watch this, I mean, that's pretty much, I guess, all All-Star games besides basketball is boring. They don't play defense. Baseball, they actually play for something, I guess, like just bragging rights, but middle of the season. Anyways, this is fantasy football, and we're going to pass the Pro Bowl because who cares about it? Breaking news, though, Pro Bowl, Myles Garrett, has requested a trade today. He says he wants to join a Super Bowl team. It's been his dream since he was a young kid to host the Lombardi Trophy. Garrett also mentioning during the season that he doesn't want to be part of the Browns rebuilding. And right now, holding that pick number two, I think you're in a rebuild. Where do you guys think he's going to go, chat? Like, this All-Pro, where do you think he's going to end up? There's a whole bunch of rumors about maybe Washington, maybe Lions, perhaps. I just want to know where you guys think. I don't know exactly where the best fit is. I know he's got 2 years left on his contract. I think he accounts for $19.25 million this year. I know he's a great player. He's probably going to win defensive MVP, or he's in the finalists. I know that, but where do you guys think he's going to end up? I just don't know. And Super Bowl matchup. Next week, less than a week, we get to watch commercials that might be exciting. Probably not. They just pay too much money to have boring commercials. The only commercials I really like is the Dorito ones. Those are the ones that make me laugh. All the other ones are pretty lame, if we're going to be honest. But maybe we'll next week, you know what, on Tuesday, I'll talk about my favorite commercial. I know this is a fancy show, but hey, we got to communicate back and forth. All right, chat. Let me know what your favorite commercial is. I'll give you my top one, maybe top couple if I think they're really funny. Who cares? Anyways, moving on. The Eagles versus Kansas City Chiefs. I already mentioned last week that I think the Chiefs are going to win. I already said, you know, Taylor Swift and or Kelsey wins, proposes Swift and rides off into a sunset, but whatever. I just think that they're going to get involved. I think Xavier Worthy a couple years ago, they did like these little motion and option or motion that, what is that? Tooney went in motion and like went to the running back position, ran back out quick for a touchdown. And same thing with Sky Moore, those both players are not even on the team, I don't think, anymore, and they're both duds in the NFL. I think they're going to do the same exact play with Xavier Worthy. I don't see how they don't. I'm predicting Worthy at least one touchdown in this game. That's going to be one of my player prop bets for the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Kansas City Chiefs, though, are going to hold down the fort against Saquon Barkley and the Eagles' rushing abilities, making them the winners. I think Patrick Mahomes, he's going to find it. He's going to, you know, pay somebody or find a way to win another Super Bowl. Sorry, you guys don't cheat. I don't. What am I talking about? Anyways, I think the Chiefs are going to win. Who do you guys think is going to win? Let me know. And before I play the AFC South GM, let's hear a word from our podfather.
Oh, I see all this mock draft information out there. Oh, this mock, that mock. Hey, what about a real actual fantasy game? The Flex 4 game on Fast Draft, draftfaster.com, is open. You draft 6 running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The top 4 enter your lineup every week. It's that easy. It's that simple. Drafts take 5 minutes. There's a $50,000 prize pool. It's $15,000 to first. It's just a $5 entry. And the best part? No rake. No rake whatsoever on Fast Draft, the first 2025 best ball contest to open in the world, is ready for you to draft up to 150 teams. DraftFaster.com, DraftFaster.com. Start playing best ball for real.
Yeah, Fast Draft, it's your last live betting one this coming Sunday. But also, you could plug in my user, Louis Lewis 5, and I do believe you get a free $5, or it matches up to $25. I can't remember. Just plug it in, download it, you'll get something. But also, I just want to mention, be sure to follow us here at Player Profiler. We always keep you up to date with fantasy news, football relevant news. We keep you with fantasy knowledge, though, is the biggest thing that we try to do here. A good way to keep up to date, though, and dominate your leagues for next season is our all-in package. With this, you'll get the Dynasty Deluxe, the DFS Dominator World Famous Draft Kit, data analysis, and player ranking. So be sure to follow that and join us here at the Player Profiler. Another way, you're already doing it right now, you're watching this YouTube or this channel, be sure to give it thumbs up, follow us. It helps us. It helps the channel, the algorithm. And be sure to follow my own podcast at Fantasy End Zone. I come up with a new episode every Tuesday in the mornings during the off season and during the regular football season. I have Tuesdays and Fridays. I recap games, injuries, give you my waiver picks on Tuesday episodes. And on Friday, I give you my start and sits of the week along with betting props. Be sure to follow my podcast, though, Fantasy End Zone. Let's get into being the GM of AFC South teams. So again, I'm going to recap this. What am I doing? You know, I'm doing an 8-part segment of each division. The last 2 weeks, I covered the AFC North and the East. Be sure to check those out. They're up on the page. Be sure to follow them or check them out. But I go team by team in the division, breaking down each team needs, their salary cap situation, who might their key positional players hitting free agencies are, free agents in general of who they should sign, and who I would target in the draft if I was the GM. So let's play GM. We'll start with the Tennessee Titans. I don't know what exact day off the top of my head, but what you're going to hear in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Tennessee Titans, you are now on the clock. Do-do-do-do. But they're going to be the very first thing that you hear, because why? they sucked. They're 3-14. They have the number one overall draft pick. There aren't too many bright spots on this team besides a few good players. I mean, they finished towards the bottom in pretty much every major category on the offside or offense side of the ball, such as points per game, yards per game, passing yards per game. They were, however, in good terms with third down possession or third down efficiency and time of possession. But time of possession can be skewed, in my opinion, because their defense struggled and they just gave away a lot of pick sixes, fumble for touchdowns. So they're back on the field. So time of possession, they held on to a lot. But their defense struggled a lot, allowing 27 points per game, which was one of the bottom. And they only had 32 sacks, which, again, ranked bottom of the league. Some of their top-tier guys, Tony Pollard, he's coming back. He had a pretty good year besides toward the end. He kind of fell off during the fantasy playoffs. Calvin Ridley, he's not a bad player. I think you get him consistent quarterback play, and he could tear it up. On the defense side of the ball, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, and Trayvon Sweat. But some of the key free agents players that are skilled position, since this is fantasy, I'm not going to cover a lot of the defensive players. I'm going to cover only who's hitting the market in skilled positions. One being their quarterback or backup quarterback. He started a lot of games too, though. Mason Rudolph, which he came in and out of the starting lineup, like I said, I feel like he was more effective than Will Levis when starting. Running backs, they're losing two backups, Joshua Kelly and Julius Chestnut, which to me are nothing too special. I know a lot of people, like when Tony Pollard got hurt or there's rumors that he might be hurt, go pick this guy up. I hope you didn't. I hope you didn't pick neither one. At wide receiver, though, they may lose their leading touchdown scorer of 2024 in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to free agency. He had 9 touchdowns last year on only 32 catches. Make it make sense. Like, I think he had 490 yards, too, on 32 catches. Like, I don't understand how you have 9 touchdowns for 32 catches. Crazy numbers. I mean, he had a stretch of like, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. He had a touchdown, 2 catches, 1 touchdown. I don't know. Another that they may lose is Tyler Boyd, which I think he very well underperformed. He had 39 catches for 310 yards. It's just a big fall off from his numbers when he is in Cincinnati, putting up 600 to 700 yards every year, year in, year out. But again, that quarterback play affected that dramatically. You know, it going from Joe Burrow to Will Levis or Mason Rudolph is a huge drop. And tight end backup and blocking specialist Nick Vant. Vannett. Those are the skilled positions set to hit the open market. Which guys would I actually bring back, though? I would bring back Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He possesses a big body. He should be good in the receiving game in the red zone. I mean, Christ, we already seen it, 9 touchdowns, even though a lot of them were, you know, 30, 40 yards out. I also think him being 28, he's got a lot of time to develop. I mean, he's got 2 more years, I'd give it, I guess, until he's 30. If he gets better quarterback play, I think we see a 700 yard receiver out of Westbrook-Ikhine. I'm letting Boyd go. I'm also letting the running backs walk as well. I'm not a big fan of either one, especially when they're set with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, which both shown they can be very effective if they are both or either one is a starter. Also, I see them drafting a late round running back in this deep, deep running back class in this year. I also bring back Nick Vinette, which, I mean, he doesn't offer any fantasy production, but he does help out in the run game. So I am bringing back him. The question would be, do I bring back Mason Rudolph? And I think the answer is no. I understand you could probably punt this pick and or punt this, you know, position in a way. Maybe you just say, screw it, let's build around Will Levis. I don't think he's that good. He didn't show anything in the last 2 years. I know it was this new coaching scheme's first year. I don't think Callahan really cares too much for him. I mean, typically coaches like to pick their quarterbacks, and he just came in this area and he thought he could be, you know, the quarterback whisperer. I don't know. But yes, I just don't bring him back. I think it just causes for more chaos than anything, having two of the same quality quarterbacks. I mean, we seen it last year between the two, Mason and Will Levis. I just don't think it's going to be a great fit. The salary cap situation for the Titans, they're currently $44 million under the cap space, or they have $44 million available in cap space, I guess you'd say. This is before they make moves like of cutting players, extending players. I see them cutting a couple players, but one being probably Kenneth Murray, linebacker. Doing this will create an extra $7.6 million. So we're looking at right now $51.7 million, we'll say. Some of their free agents that they could be targeting, their draft need or their team needs, number one is obviously quarterback, wide receiver, safety, offensive line, linebackers. I see them spending a lot of their money on O-line and also in the secondary, but I also think they're going to spend it on the linebacker position. They try to fill the void of Alshire when he left with Murray. I don't think it really worked out too well. I think they failed at that position. So I look for them to spend the money at that position. I don't know anyone off the top of my head who I'd say go. I also have a feeling they're going to sign some kind of veteran quarterback. The one I feel is probably the most intriguing, and I don't know if you'll actually hit the open market, but Sam Darnold. I think Brian Callahan would love a player like Sam Darnold. Yes, he might have seen ghosts in the playoffs, but hell, he's got to get to the playoffs to see the ghosts again, right? So why not? But I think he gets like a kind of like almost like a Baker Mayfield type deal. If he does hit open market, maybe like a 3-year, $90 million, and probably what, 75 of it guaranteed, 80 guaranteed, not somewhere around there is what I can see. But I'm going to predict that Sam Darnold is going to Tennessee, making them available to draft the best player available at the first overall pick. That player is Travis Hunter to me. There's no other player in this draft. This guy can play both sides of the ball. He's probably the best receiver in this class. If he is the pure receiver, he's probably the best corner if he is a pure corner. But he's the best player overall. He plays both sides of the ball really well. And I think this team mentioned they don't want to miss out on a generational player. This is that generational player. I'm telling you. Travis Hunter is that guy. He could be him. I mean, he is him. So I have Travis Hunter being the number one pick with the Tennessee Titans because of the Sam Darnold signing. They could draft one later on. I know a lot of people say they want to draft like Cam Ward. To me, he's not done anything spectacular. He looked like crap in middle of the games, and I just don't like him as a prospect. I don't like, I mean, if I had to put, I like Shedeur Sanders a lot better than Cam Ward, but that's just me. What do I know? I just think they, you can't pass a prospect like Hunter. That's going to be my rant. But also, I think if he does play the receiving position, he's going to fill that void that they truly lack. Also, this is going to help get the ball to Calvin Ridley. I mean, you got two stud wide receivers, and they might, you know, get it, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine involved as well. So you got three decent, two of them are good. Westbrook-Ikhine is okay. But in the second round, I see them adding to the O-line a guard like Tyler Booker from Alabama, if he's there, or Senior Bowl riser, Gary Vabel. He plays anywhere on the O-line. I know he played tackle in college, but at Senior Bowl practices, they had him playing guard, center, tackle. He's kind of struggled during the game, but that's just somebody that could play all positions. I mean, there is some teams that really love those kind of guys. But this would give them a great, great sound, how would you put it? Great structure in the offensive line position. I mean, they spent first round picks on Peter Skronzik, and last year's rookie JC Lathrum. And you add, you know, Vabel, I think you're going to have a great core. Kind of like what the Eagles did, you know, they kind of brought all these guys in and they just developed them into great offense line. And that's what they are now. Later in the draft, though, because it's a deep draft, I think they're going to take a guy maybe like Donovan Edwards out of Michigan, where he could catch the ball in the backfield, but also he could take hits and absorb them. And with his 6'1 body frame, I just think that could be something that is great for them. Also, we've seen, you know, Pollard's getting older. He got hurt. Tajay Spears, kind of injury prone. So maybe having another decent running back, since it's a huge, long list of draft class of, you know, running back style, I think that's a great option. I could see them maybe taking a quarterback if they don't even sign. Let's just put the hypothetical. If we don't sign Sam Darnold, I see them spending a pick at the quarterback position. And if I was Brian Callahan, I think you look at guys like Kyle McCord from Syracuse. That doesn't cost too much to, you know, draft him right now. I think he's, to me, he's my quarterback five on the year, or on my list. He's my quarterback five. But he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't make costly throws. Yes, he had that terrible game against Pittsburgh where he threw, I think, five interceptions in that game. It was just a bad game overall. But after that, he finished 15 touchdowns to one interception. 15 to one interception touchdown ratio. That's amazing. Sorry, 15 touchdowns to one interception ratio. Sorry. He reminds me a little bit of like a Joe Burrow in a way. Cool in the pocket, calm, throws it with zip. And Brian Callahan came from Cincinnati where he had Joe Burrow as his quarterback. So that could be an option. I think he can make it work with that. Or maybe like a Quinn Ewers. But for this sake, we're going to still say Sam Darnold signs his 3-year, $30 million, whatever, 3 years, $100 million. So the 2025 roster outlook for the Tennessee Titans, Will Levis and Sam Darnold. Running backs is Tony Pollard, Spears, Tajay Spears, and Donovan Edwards. Wide receiver, you have Kelvin Ridley, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Treylon Burks. God, what a bust that was, huh? Way to trade him for A.J. Brown. And Travis Hunter. Tight end, Chigakonkwo, Josh Wiley, and Nick Vinette. Chat, let me know what you think I did. How did I do with the Tennessee Titans' dad botch? The first overall pick, do you draft Cam Ward or Sanders? What would you do? Let me know. Moving on, Jacksonville Jaguars, much like the Titans, are one of the bottom teams in the league, hence why they have the fifth overall draft pick. They do, however, have their franchise quarterback, or one that they are paying, the top-rated or top-paying quarterback in the league. They also have rookie sensation Brian Thomas Jr. That was just amazing down the stretch of the down the stretch for Jacksonville, and also our fantasy football teams, right? I mean, if you had him, you might have brought one of these home, you know, these bad boys. Championship. Don't worry, I keep it right next to me. Sometimes, you know, I put it on the mantle. The wife might get mad, but hey, I deserved it. Anyways, they have some great defensive players and young as well. Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker, both on the defense side of the ball. Great outside edge rushers. But with the 4-11 overall, you got the number 5 overall pick. They need a lot of help. On the defensive side of the ball, they were ranked 27 points allowed, 28th for sacks, 30th for interceptions. They will look to build around Liam Cohen, which is coming over from Tampa Bay. He is their former offensive coordinator. That whole thing was a great signing, I'm going to agree, but it's just a lot of drama. I mean, yeah. They could have got Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson didn't like the GM. What do they do? All right, let's interview Liam Cohen. I don't really care for the GM either. All right, I'm going to go back and sign an extension with Tampa Bay. What happens within, a few hours? Oh, Jaguars fire their GM. Oh, hey, Liam Cohen, you want to come over here? Ignore what the Buccaneers have to say, you know. Tell them you're a kid's doctor, not in Jacksonville. Oh, you want to be our new head coach? Hell yeah, let's sign you. And that's what they did. Anyways, moving on. We got to get going on this. Key free agents, backup, and last year's starter to end the year, Mac Jones, due to Trevor Lawrence injury. Mac Jones looked great at some points. Looked like his old self when he was in New England, but he had a big connection with Brian Thomas Jr. That's for damn sure. Also, running back D'Ernest Johnson. He didn't really do much. He was more of the special teams player. Wide receiver Tim Jones. Again, he is buried pretty much, but was also a special teams player. And backup tight end Luke Farrell. Who am I bringing back? Honestly, all these players, I might just let them all walk besides bringing back Mac Jones. I think in this league, you need a backup that's competent and can throw the ball after if you get your starter hurt, like Trevor Lawrence. He got hurt. In comes Mac Jones, and he actually did well. He had some good games. I mean, you took a little bit of beating here and there, but down the stretch, I would rate him like a B- for performance because of what he had to work with. I just think, just in case, if Trevor Lawrence, you need a great backup, and I think Mac Jones is that, and I'm bringing him back. Current salary situation, though, $32 million in cap space. I do see them making moves like releasing Christian Kirk, which will help them get another $10 million. and possibly actually I'm going to have it releasing Evan Engram. That gets him $6 million as well. On the defense side of the ball, at least get rid of Ronald Darby. That gives him an extra 2 point something million. Just these three moves created, and now they're up to $51 million in cap space. What am I going to do with that? I mean, I think you kind of have to build this offensive line. That's one of their strong needs, their defense line, safety, corner. Cohen, like I said, he's coming over from Tampa Bay. I could see them kind of imitating what the offense looked like for Buccaneers. For example, Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield. Pretty much the same kind of guy, in my opinion. Just Trevor Lawrence has better looking hair. And they're both number one overall draft picks. Both started with a terrible franchise, even though Trevor Lawrence is still there. You're going to have to do what you got. Brian Thomas Jr., I see him playing the Chris Godwin role. Could play up, play anywhere, and he found big-time success. Breton Strange, because I'm releasing Evan Engram, he plays your Kate Otten role. But who plays that Mike Evans role, in my opinion? This Jacksonville Jaguars team is my dark horse to land. Drumroll. T. Higgins. I got T. Higgins going here. I know, call me crazy, but I could totally see it. If they get him, they're winning this division. I'm calling it right now. They are going to beat the Texans for this division, even though Texans have been running it for the last 2 years. If T. Higgins goes to the Jaguars, I'm going to throw a bet out there that Jacksonville wins the division. But in the draft, them owning the number 5 overall pick, we're going to just, look at the defense side of the ball. I think Mason Graham makes a lot of sense here. He's the best interior defense lineman in this whole draft. He'll help, the run game, help the defense overall on the interior line. Plus, this helps give Josh Allen Hines or Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker single coverage at times because you might get center and the guard on them. Meaning it's going to be a lot better boost for this Jacksonville team. I really like that. I think that one's probably the most concrete sound to draft. I mean, this is also going to address or help build the secondary with interceptions. What they rank 30th, but I think also they're going to draft in the some secondary corners or safety. Just a few picks. These few draft picks are going to create sacks, interceptions. It's going to help the defensive side of the ball. Trevor Lawrence is going to help run the offensive side of the ball. As for a skilled position, though, I don't know if they really draft anything too much. But if I had to guess, it might be a running back. I know they got Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby. Etienne's going in his last year of his contract. I see them drafting a guy probably like Woody Marks from USC. A great player comp for him is Rashad White, which Cohen had in Tampa Bay. As he's a pass-catching running back. He's a big body running back. He could take the hits, take the blows. We've seen Travis Etienne be hurt. We've seen Tank Bigsby mess around with his shoulder. I don't know. But I think this is a good place that could fall for Woody Marks and build this offense to look kind of comparable to Tampa Bay. As far as receivers, I don't see them making too much sense. I made a big splash in free agency signing T. Higgins. That's right, T. Higgins. But releasing Evan Ingram, I could see them adding a tight end. And I like Iowa's Luke Lachey. Or Lachey. He's more of a scheme blocking tight end, but can catch the ball as well. So I really like that idea for the tight end position for Jacksonville. So the 2025 outlook, I have Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones at quarterback, running back Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, and Woody Marks. Wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. You got Parker Washington, Gabe Davis. He's going to have to stay there. If you cut him, your dead cap is like $23 million. It's not going to be feasible. Devin Duvernay and T. Higgins! Breton Strange and Luke Lachey at tight end. What do you think, chat? Let me know. Am I just cuckoo nuts? Let me know about the T. Higgins. I could see it. I mean, they're going to have to probably pay him like $33 million a year. I don't know. But that's one of my dark horse teams to landing T. Higgins. Moving on, because we got to get on out of here soon. Indianapolis Colts. What to say about them? Well, one game away from the playoffs. The quarterback situation is murky. And they have a few good receivers and a stud running back. Their offense ranked middle of the pack. Also ranked bottom tier in passing. But they did have a top tier rushing game. I mean, the last few games with Taylor rushing almost 200 and one of them he did. But they fit on the defense side of the ball. They are considered middle of the pack, but didn't allow, or they did allow or have not many sacks and allowed 25 points per game. But they did finish top five with 16. This led them to an 8-9 finish. Some key free agents. Quarterback. They're probably going to lose Super Bowl MVP. Joe Flacco. I think he was much better than Anthony Richardson. They're also losing Sam Ellinger, which is just a backup. I mean, he played mostly practice squad. Running back. They lose Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson. Goodson has got a re-sign extension, so they're only losing Trey Sermon, which both of these guys had decent games when filling in for Jonathan Taylor when he was hurt. Wide receiver, Ashton Doolin and Juwan Winfrey are both set to become free agents. Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson as tight end. Who am I bringing back, though? In this group, I'm letting Joe Flacco walk unless I don't like any of the quarterback prospects or the draft. You look at the draft and you just don't like any of the picks, or you're just addressing other needs instead of the backup quarterback. I think Flacco will be there on free agency just because he's what, like 40 years old now. But for this exercise, we aren't signing him. Trey Sermon, I'm not bringing back. Tyler Goodson's already brought back on a one-year extension. But for receiver, I'm letting Doolin and Winfrey test the waters. I'm also letting Mo Alie-Cox test the waters. But I'm bringing back Granson. He's only like 28 years old. He only had 14 catches on the year, but he's a blocking tight end, and that's what we're looking for in this offense. The salary cap situation, though, based on over the cap, they have $28 million in space. But I see them cutting right tackle Brandon Smith. Doing this is going to give them an extra $16 million in cap. Also cutting Samson Ebukam, an edge rusher, which is coming off an Achilles injury that he suffered during training camp. He's also going to give him $7 million. With those two moves before extensions, moving money all around, this is $52 million now in cap space. But what are they going to do in free agency? What are they going to do with the money? I mean, they need to improve their cornerbacks. Their wide receiver can use another playmaker, I'd say. A safety, tight end, edge rusher, and a backup quarterback. For these positions, I really like them signing a Kirk Cousins. I know they, yes, he couldn't throw the ball as much, as far, but Kirk Cousins to a minimal deal because he's still getting paid from Atlanta. I think this gives you that big-time veteran approach behind Richardson. I think it's also going to be a better value than Joe Flacco just because of the age is going to give you like another two-year difference maybe, I guess. But I also see them spending money on defensive line, Javon Kinlaw from, I think, New York Jets last year. And they're going to help the back end, and they're going to pick up a guy like Andre Sisco, a safety, which he can, that guy can ball, flat out ball. The Colts, though, during the draft, they own the number 14 overall draft pick. I would use this one on one of my biggest needs, my probably my favorite player right now, and that is Penn State's tight end, Tyler Warren. This guy has hands, blocking skills. He plays tight end amazing. Like, this is what you want in the league. He runs all over the formations. You can line him up anywhere. You line him up tight, out wide, slot, whatever you need to do. Plus, he could run the Wildcat offense, which he was a high school quarterback as well. And who else was a guy that was a high school quarterback that actually was a high school or was a college quarterback for a little bit before he got suspended? Oh, yeah, Travis Kelce. I see a lot of his similarities to both their games. They could be used as anything in the run game, receiving game, Wildcat, whatever you need. You need that tush push, he's going to do it for you. And I think this is going to be a home run pick, probably one of the easiest picks I would have to make if I had to predict the draft. This has got to be the one of the easiest. With having a young player in Jalen Jones at corner, I think they spend some of their money on safety but and defense line. So I have them also taking a corner being or cornerback in this draft being Jabari Muhammad from Oregon. He plays much like Asante Samuel, good against press coverage, can play that coverage zone. I think that'd be a great add for him. I also think they add a pass catching running back. You know, Jonathan Taylor, you've seen that he takes a lot of hits, a lot of beating. If they could avoid him in the passing game, it'll take down, what, 20% of his hits maybe? And you're going to have a fresher legs and everything else. So for that, you know, Tyler Goodson produced some catches out of the backfield. I think he had like 15, 20 catches out of the backfield. But Trevor Etienne, I really like what he did at the Senior Bowl. He showed off his passing catching abilities. Also, yes, he is Travis Etienne's little or younger brother. But I think that would be just a great 1-2 punch in Indy where Jonathan Taylor is one of the better rushers in all of football. And having Etienne to be that change of pace back, I think that'd be a great compliment. So the 2025 outlook for the Indianapolis Colts, we have Anthony Richardson, which you got to get better, Richardson. Your completion percentage is ass. Like, sorry, I don't know if I could swear, but your catching ability is terrible, or your passing ability is terrible. You need a completion percentage of like 65 or better. Kirk Cousins, I'm going to predict if you do sign there, you're starting by week 8. I mean, I just Don't like Richardson whatsoever. Fantasy-wise, it'd be amazing. If he could learn how to throw a ball to his own teammates and complete them, he can be a game changer, game wrecker, whatever you want to say. But for now, he just sucks. Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Goodson, and Trevor Etienne as your running backs. Wide receiver, you have Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs. If he's not hurt, he's going to be great as long as Anthony Richardson can pass the damn ball. A.D. Mitchell, Alec Pierce, and Anthony Gould. Tight end, though, we have Kylan Granson, Drew Overtree, and Tyler Warren, baby. That's God. He's a draft. He's in a tight end premium. He's my must draft, I feel. Let me know what you guys think, though. And your division winner of the last back-to-back years, Houston Texans, are on the clock now. They won their division and the first game of the wild card the last 2 years. They finished the season 10-7. They also beat the Chargers this year in wild card game, but they fell to the defending back-to-back champs, Kansas City Chiefs, which in that game, Texans outgained them by more than 100 yards with no turnovers, but still lost. I think there's a record of 49-0. Way to be that one loss, Texans. Moving on the offensive side of the ball, they're ranked middle of the pack in yards per game, time of possession, third down efficiency. They did, however, rank top five on the defense side of the ball with sacks. They had 49 sacks this year and league leading 19 interception. That's probably why they gave Stingley a huge extension. But DeMarco Ryans has his team going in the right direction. But how can we improve them? Key free agents that they're losing, though. Not really much at quarterback besides backup Casey Keenum. Pass-catching running back Dar Amawale. Wide receivers, though, they are losing injured Stephon Diggs, which they had such high hopes for, and Robert Woods, always a great possession receiver. Tight end, they're losing Irv Smith Jr. and a couple other non-relevant tight ends. Who am I bringing back? Well, the easy answer would be to say Diggs. I feel like it's just unrealistic with their salary cap situation, how it's playing out. I just don't see that coming to, you know, happen. But I do have them bringing back a player like Dar Amawale. He's probably not going to cost you a whole bunch at all. He's a great change of back, great pass catching running back, and he's a good special teams player. The reason why I wouldn't be able to say Diggs is coming back is because their salary cap situation per over the cap, they only have $381,000 in spending. That's only going to get you gum in the NFL, apparently. So with that, they got to move some money around. I know, like, Ultree, the edge rusher for them, he'll probably get released. That'll give them $5.7 million. But I see them also adjusting and moving Daniel Hunter salary cap around, freeing up more money. But for now, it's going to be a touchy subject for them. What would I say the Texans need help with is offense line. You got to protect that quarterback. CJ Stroud can't be laying on his back all game. The cornerback position, other side of Stingley. Wide receiver help. If you do lose Diggs, I don't see them bringing back Robert Woods. He is buried and injured during this year. Pass rushers, they could always use them. With their minimum salary cap, I look at maybe them having lower cost players, like veterans that want to play on discount and compete for a title. During the draft, much like the free agency, what will they do? Where will they spend their picks and fill the holes? In the first round, I think they're going to use it on the defense side of the ball, and I have an interior defense line. I'm going to say they're either going to draft Michigan Kenneth Grant or Ole Miss Walter Nolan on the defensive side of the ball. Second round, I have them projected pick like an offensive guard in Tate Radledge from Georgia, but I'm going to stick to skilled position. If I had to pick one, you got to get somebody that's going to replace Tank Dell. I just don't see him playing this year with that gruesome knee injury and him tearing a bunch of ligaments. I see them drafting a wide receiver such as Ricky White III from UNLV. He's 6'1", runs in the 4.4s. This can help fill the void of Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs if he doesn't resign. I don't see him resigning, though. So I like them signing or drafting Ricky White. So the 2025 outlook for Houston Texans at quarterback, C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills. Running back, they still got Joe Mixon. He was a big game changer last year for them. Damian Pierce and Dar Amuwale. At wide receiver, I look Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Like I said, he's probably not going to play next year, but he's going to be on the roster, obviously. John Metchie, he started coming into his own middle to late of the season. Xavier Hutchinson and Ricky White III. Tight end, you're looking at Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover, and Brevin Jordan. Rank my skills, chat. Let me know how terrible or good I did. Give it a like. Give it a thumbs up. Let me know what I did for the AFC South. And that's a wrap of today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Click the little notification bell wherever you get your podcast. Also, follow me on my Twitter at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Next week, I will be playing AFC West. That is the last team for the AFC, or last division for the AFC. Be sure to check out my other episodes besides this one. AFC North, AFC East. Check those two out. And I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully you guys enjoy your Super Bowl this weekend. I'm going to say go Chiefs in this instance. I don't like the Eagles personally. But I'll see you guys next week. Peace.